It's so good to be here today. I love speaking at Sterling Study Group. When I was talking about my intention today, I talked about the idea that every time I have the opportunity to speak, it expands my consciousness. And I am very excited about sharing some of the ideas and things that have come in to my life. And if I were expressing how I'm feeling, I would be running and flying and shrieking a little bit, just like Lavanya is. So you can hear Lavanya's voice as my excitement in this moment. It's a joy. So I had the privilege this past few weeks of encountering one workshop and then a second one from my friend Charlie Curtis, who offered some information about a workshop he was teaching, and he shared some of that exercise with some friends on the Abraham list. And when I wrote to him and I asked for it, because he is a Science of Mind practitioner as well as a PhD psychologist and a clinical hypnotherapist, he shared the whole workshop with me, all the CD and all of the handouts and the exercises and everything. He said, you know, if you want to teach this, go ahead. And I shared it with my Wednesday night group, and they were so excited about it. I kept sharing it with other people, and I realized that in the 3 days after I had started listening to it, it changed my life significantly for the better. And so I wanted to continue to share it with friends. And in the course of time, I realized that he not only sent me that workshop, but he had sent me a second workshop that I had been so excited about the first one, I didn't even notice that he had sent me a second CD and MP3s in email. And I started listening to the second one, and I got even more excited than I had been before. And I feel like I have this brilliant new teacher in my life that I've known for 15 years and admired for 15 years. But all of a sudden, he's present on a daily basis. And he sent me these beautiful CDs. And he gave me permission to share the CDs with friends for $5. So if you are inspired by any of the things I share with you today and you'd like to hear Charlie talk about it, I can share the MP3s with you for just $5 for each one. So that's more good stuff for $5 than I've ever seen before in my entire life. So that's the news about that. So let me talk a little bit about Charlie Curtis and then share with you the things from the two workshops that totally blew me away, that expanded what I was going to say today. And I'm talking about practical tips for treatment is my topic today. And there were some things in the book, and I have two copies of the book here. If any of you don't have the book and you'd like to read the chapter, I would be thrilled to loan you a copy of the book, because I'm not going to talk about what Frederick Bale said about it. I'm going to talk about what I've learned brand new in my whole life about treatment in the last couple of weeks with great excitement. So Charlie Curtis talked about his background, and he said there were seven ministers in his extended family, and all of them had healing ministries. They did ministry where people had instantaneous miraculous healings through their work. And so he grew up asking questions about instantaneous healing and how that could happen. His dad was a Methodist minister and had an extensive library. And when he was a child, he would sit and read from the library. So he was basking in the mystical vibrations of ecstasy in the kitchen from Father Lawrence when he was a child, Friar Lawrence. And he knew about the mystical vibrations and the healing, and his father knew about hypnosis and taught him about hypnosis, and that hypnosis is what causes instantaneous healings in altar calls and other faith healing experiences, that they are in fact a conversion experience, where you move someone from a conviction in a universe of despair into a universe of optimism and hope and light. Isn't that exciting? I mean, I thought that was really thrilling. And the brilliance of Charlie Curtis is he is not only steeped in the religious side of the mystical, but he is a PhD psychotherapist and a psychologist and a clinical hypnotherapist, and he actively works with teaching people in the medical fields about mindfulness and meditation, and has been doing that for 10 years, has been studying this stuff, as he says, I've been studying this for 40 years, and after 40 years, it gets easier. I love that. And when he talks about his life on the CDs, he talks about experiencing ecstasy in the ordinary. He doesn't use that phrase. That came to me when I was meditating on what I was going to say here. But he talks about making the mystical normal, and the essence of that, bringing that vibration into your daily life. So I was thrilled, and that is the background of Charlie Curtis. And then this is the quote from him that just made me vibrate with excitement, because this consciousness is what Ernest Holmes wrote about all the time. It's what he's talking about, Joe Goldsmith writing about in The Infinite Way. He said, when you are in fight or flight consciousness, which is where most people spend most of their time, you are not in touch with reality. I mean, I acted like I was shocked. I mean, physically, electrically shocked when I heard that sentence. So I'm going to read it again. When you are in fight or flight consciousness, which is where most people spend most of their time, you are not in touch with reality. So this is like turning our concept of what facing reality is totally 180 degrees in the other direction. We are turning our back on the fears and the angers of everyday life, and we are facing the truth. He said, reality is not fight or flight. Reality is not fear. It's not anger. Now, fear and anger are real states. We are not in denial about any of that, but we are saying that when you are in either one of those states, you are not perceiving reality objectively. And so what that really means is that large portions of the population are out of touch with reality. They are not in contact with the loving universe. They are unaware that there is an infinite power available for healing and that they can connect with that power. And that when someone does connect with that power, it will heal them and it will heal others. And then he talks about, well, what is getting in touch with reality? And he said, when you move into the relaxed, peaceful state of mindfulness, where you feel open, where you feel peaceful, where you are not upset, where you are not afraid, where you are not angry, that's the healing state. He said parasympathetic state is the medical term for it. The instant you enter that state, you begin to heal. If you are sick, your body begins to heal immediately. The instant you enter that state. And if someone comes to you for help, it's because they're not in that state. So what you need to do is help them get there. And you can help them get there if they are sitting in front of you or if they are at a distance. And he talks about healing when you're with someone as physical healing and healing at a distance as metaphysical healing. So that couple of paragraphs just sent all this excitement. I was doing happy dances. It's like, okay, this is the consciousness Ernest Holmes had. This is where they had theaters full of 1,000 people and people were having spontaneous healing experiences. This is where faith healers do their work. And that is such a powerful understanding. But to couple that with the incredible idea of this is what it means to face reality, it's like, whoa, all my bells and whistles went off. So here we are. And then Joel Goldsmith talked about how to do it. And Charlie Curtis is quoting Joel Goldsmith. And I didn't write all this down exactly. This is my notes on what he said. Everyone knows enough truth to heal the most dangerous disease. Let us agree that at least everyone knows one metaphysical truth. If you will take the one statement of truth that you know, that you have conviction about, and sit quietly wherever you are and ponder that one single statement, it will not be too long before a second statement of truth flows into your thought. Out of that will come another, and after a while, another. Abraham Hicks would say that's 17 seconds plus 17 seconds plus 17 seconds plus 17 seconds equals 68 seconds. Because that 17 seconds of pondering that one positive idea creates a combustion point of thought that brings in another and another and another and another. And Abraham says 68 seconds is the manifestation point where you begin to have the feelings of that thought. You begin to exist in the vibration of that thought from a feeling perspective. So Joel Goldsmith went on to say, you can sit for hours if you'd like, and the truth will never stop flowing. In the treatment of any problem, being it physical, mental, or financial, take one statement of truth and live with that one until the second and third ones come. And finally, a statement will come that will assure you that the treatment is complete. And then you can say, thank you, Father. That feels so good. That just feels so exciting to me, because that's what spiritual mind treatment is. That's what we're doing when we do a treatment. We are finding a statement that we know, that we believe. We are starting with God is. Abraham would call that going general. That's going to the most expansive idea that you have. It's not focused on the specifics of life. It's going general. So that let's hold that here, and in parallel to that, let's explore the other workshop that Charlie sent me, because the two of them together make excitement for me. So the other one was the slowing down to the speed of life workshop, and this is direct quote from Charlie in the first two paragraphs. He said, life has a speed, a healthy speed, a congruent speed. When you slow down to the speed of life, life feels good. When you slow down to the speed of life, your aches and pains go away. When you slow down to the speed of life, solutions to problems come into your awareness. When you slow down to the speed of life, life is ecstatic, just the way it is, without anything having to change. Some call it being in the zone if they're an athlete, or getting a visit from the new muse if they're an artist. Being inspired if we are a great leader or speaker, getting in touch with the heart if we're doing something that causes great love to flow in us. Or if we look at someone who is doing great things of intellect, a scientist or a philosopher or a mathematician, we say they are brilliant. And what's really going on in that moment is they are moving at the speed of life. If you are unhappy, you are not moving at the speed of life. Our culture is electronically overstimulated, which causes stress. The solution is to learn to slow down to the speed of life. We're so busy that we don't see that the secret of life is to feel good, to enjoy what you're doing. In stress, we feel uncomfortable physically and emotionally in one way or another. Practicing mindfulness is adjusting yourself so you feel good by learning to slow down to the speed of life. And when you do, you become more efficient. As you have a good time, you get better and faster and do higher quality work, and you don't get as tired. science show mindfulness makes everything better. It's just paying attention to your life, noticing what's going on. In medicine, it's called the relaxation response. And it allows you to turn back the clock on chronic illness. And sometimes those chronic illnesses even disappear entirely. We spend too much time going fast in our culture. And since everyone is doing it, it seems normal. We want to create a new normal of peace and relaxation, where things are different, things are better, psychologically and physically, and life is just more fun. Mindfulness is paying attention to life, becoming an observer. You step back and gain insight and understanding, and instead of being caught up in the drama, you observe the drama. You move out of problem consciousness into solution consciousness. So I'm going to take a deep breath and slow down to the speed of life, because that, I'm so excited about this. It gets me revved up. But we're going to relax and breathe for a moment. And talk about what he said about when you slow down to the speed of life, chronic illnesses begin to heal, and life just gets better and better, physically and emotionally. And what Abraham Hicks said at the North Los Angeles workshop on 7/14/12, they said, you can reduce the lines in your face. There's motivation for you. You can receive a psychic vibrational facelift. You can regenerate your heart valves. You can restore the fillings in your teeth. You can add marrow back to your bones. You can add resiliency back to your joints. There is not one of you, if they can take a cell from your toe and create a whole nother you, we think there's enough regenerative power to get what you want. But you can't get there from a place about being unhappy with where you are, because when you're summoning in resistance, you are blocking it at the same time. So whether we're studying Charlie Curtis or Ernest Holmes or Joel Goldsmith or Abraham Hicks, it all comes back to that idea of facing the reality that this is a friendly universe. The way my beloved said it in my book is, no one excluded or set to the side. Each one supported, loved, and supplied. In every moment, we are supported, loved, and supplied. And when we slow down to the speed of life, we relax into that space of knowing that we are supported, loved, and supplied. So Diane was here as my house guest the last few days, and she's had the wonderful experience of witnessing my writing a talk, which takes all of my attention for several days. And I just keep adding. And so she witnessed this morning that I was still typing at 10 after 10 on my notes, and that I rewrote the talk entirely at 6 o'clock this morning, and I haven't even begun to talk about that yet. So I focused this morning on the fact that I wanted to talk about these two workshops from Charlie Curtis and how much I got out of it and how excited about it I was. And then I thought, but I haven't talked about treatment at all yet. And so I said this morning, okay, what are the most practical tips that I can give for treatment? And what B said was, the best tip of all is just do it. And the best way to inspire others to do it and to inspire myself to do it was to look at some of the reasons why. So here's my list of the, I was going to do a top 10 list and count down from 10 to 1, but then I ended up with 22, so I'm just going to go from 1 to 22. And number 1 is number 10, treat because it feels good. And feeling good is an indication that you're looking at life from the perspective of Source. It enhances your conscious connection to your inner being and your intuition, when you do spiritual mind treatment. And I'm just going to point out that I know that Lavanya, at 2 years old, is the only one in this room who hasn't had classes in science of mind and knows what treatment is. So I am not going back to the basics and explaining treatment, because our audience knows what treatment is. But number two is that treatment is a logical process to help us establish the condition that all is well. It allows us to hypnotize ourselves into the relaxed state where healing naturally happens. Number three, this whole list is from my meditation this morning. Treatment slows us down to the speed of life. When we take the time to treat, it reminds us to stop, relax, and look up. And that's a line from my first book that I published 15 years ago, where what I was told is the only lesson you need is stop, relax, and look up. Look at life from a broader perspective. So even back then, I was being told, slow down to the speed of life and look at it differently. Number four, treatment encourages us to focus differently on purpose. Because as we choose to treat, we automatically go back to step one unification that says God is, step one recognition that says God is, and then unification that says I am that. And so we have to focus differently. If we're focused on physical life, particularly in the problem orientation, and we begin to focus back on God and what we know about metaphysical truth, we are focusing differently. Causes us to focus differently. Number five. This is the one that has been most exciting to me up until the last few weeks of all that I've ever observed and learned about spiritual mind treatment. Treatment entrains our brain to oneness and Christ consciousness, regardless of the subject of the treatment, because every treatment goes back to God is and I am that. So we are doing what Jesus did when he was doing his God and I are one stuff. We are allowing that mystical vibration to become a part of our brain entrainment, so we can fall back on that knowing when we are feeling ourselves tending to forget. Number six, treatment allows us to remember who we truly are and what we already know about living in a friendly universe. Number seven, treatment reminds us to practice the presence of God, because as we breathe and slow down and say God is, we are moving to that space, we're recognizing the presence in our lives. Number eight, in Abraham terms, treatment is a masterful way to go general. Because when we're focused on the specifics of life in a negative way, we tend to gain momentum. And going general forces us to get away from the specifics and be in a higher vibration, which Lavanya's in most of the time. And we can say, yes, life is good. Nine, treatment helps us feel different when we've been dipping into less positive vibrations. It changes the way we feel. Number 10 is treatment changes our body chemistry, because it allows us to relax. And when we relax, our body chemistry goes from an endorphin, from an adrenaline-based metabolism, first to a neutral metabolism, and then ultimately, as we keep raising our vibration into an endorphin-based metabolism. Number 11, treatment helps us foster mystical awareness and experiences. Number 12, because of the organizational structure of treatment, the logical structure, it teaches us to practice gratitude and appreciation in step four, thanksgiving. And it teaches us to practice letting go and surrender in step five, release. So we are automatically practicing these spiritual practices every time we do a treatment. Number 13, treatment fosters faith and trust. Because as we practice treatment, we see results. And we get so that we believe that what we're doing is worthwhile. Number 14. This one's really powerful for me as a practitioner. Treatment allows us to resonate with the core vibration of ourselves and others, which is true compassion. Most people say that compassion is resonating with the vibration of someone else. And as a result, it's feeling pain in someone else feeling pain. And I don't believe that's true compassion. True compassion is resonating with the vibration of source within them. Everyone is two vibrations, the vibration of their attention in the moment and the vibration of source within them. They are divine life. And so they are always vibrating that vibration of source. The infinite aspect of them is always vibrating there, no matter what their focus of attention is in the moment. So as we treat for someone, we are saying God is, and I am that, and this person is that. And so we are returning our awareness to that vibration of their core, and we are vibrating with that core vibration, which is the truth of who they are. Number 15, treatment helps us develop life-giving, health-revealing ruts in our brain, which takes us where we want to go. In other words, treatment causes our brains to fire differently and develop new neural pathways. And then I have a quote from Rick Hansen, which is number 16. Neuroscientists say neurons that fire together wire together, and passing mental states become lasting neural traits. Thought that was a cool quote. Number 17, almost done, five more minutes. Okay. Treatment helps us to awaken the frontal lobe of our brain because it causes us to feel heart-based emotions like kindness, love, and compassion. And when we move into that endorphin-based metabolism, it literally causes our brain to begin to develop. Now, most people, when scientists studied it, show that brain development kind of stops when you're 18 and the brain cells start to die off. But what happens when you start feeling the heart-based emotions, it shifts and your DNA acts differently and starts developing the frontal lobe of your brain. Really exciting stuff. And if you study Joseph Chilton Pierce and Greg Braden and those guys, they talk a lot about that. Number 18, treatment helps us give birth to evolved, brilliant, peace-loving children. Whoa, that one really blew me away when they said that as the frontal lobe of your brain develops, the babies that you have are different. And in war zones where the mothers are very stressed, they birth babies who have a very highly developed rear lobe of the brain, which the reptilian brain, which makes the babies stronger. They walk earlier, they're bigger, and they're ready to fight. Whereas in peaceful areas with peaceful mothers, the baby's brains develop the frontal lobe from the time they're in the womb. And even in war zones, women who practice spiritual practices of mindfulness and peacefulness birth babies with developed frontal lobes instead of rear lobes, which is pretty exciting stuff. Number 19, treatment helps us see the light and be the light. Number 20, treatment opens the heart and mind. Number 21, treatment changes our thinking and changes our lives. Number 22, treatment can allow us to melt into bliss at the highest vibrations. And number 23, treatment allows us to share our connection and conviction with others. So 22 is the master teacher number. I love the number 22. That's why it's part of my email address. So it just made me laugh when I numbered my insights and I came up with 22. The purpose of treatment is to change the way we look at the situation we're treating about. Whether we are treating for more of something wonderful or a change in something not so wonderful, we are always looking to change the way we see something. And the formula, the five-step formula of treatment is such a brilliant formula because it automatically evokes the general, it takes us to the universal and allows us to see the change. And so I remember one teacher I had said, the first step is God is, the second step is I am that, and the third step is therefore my life works in whatever way that you are going to explain that your life works. Or you could say, therefore, all is well. And then talk about whatever it is you're talking about from a positive perspective in the treatment. So that's the realization step, third step. The fourth step is, my life works, therefore I'm grateful. I appreciate that my life works. And the fifth step is, therefore I let go and let God. It's all happening, it's all wonderful, it's all already happening. So it builds faith. So I can't wait to treat more. I mean, I treat every day already, but it's like, wow, there's 22 reasons to treat. And all of them light me up. I don't know if any of them lit you up, but they all felt inspiring to me. Every single one of them felt slightly different. And taking this idea of treating on a regular basis, and it reminds me that the statement they make about meditation, the only meditation that isn't good is the one you don't do. And so we're going to apply that to treatment. The only treatment that isn't good is the one you don't do. So we're going to go back to my starting point with Nike here in my list of reasons and say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it.